Starting.
Okay, we're about to begin a new malacha, which also falls into almost those categories that we've seen time and time again of dual malachas. We've seen pairs of malachas in ripping and sewings and writing and erasings and building and demolishing. Now we enter into the quasi-pair malachas of extinguishing fires and lighting fires, mechaba and havara. So we're going to actually talk about kibbutz first. We're going to talk about the extinguishing flames before we even light the flames. But as you'll see, as the sugya develops, that a good deal of the lamdos, particularly the part that's probably most relevant for us, particularly how this relates to electricity, actually finds itself in the malach of kibbutz. So we're going to begin discussing putting out a flame, and then afterwards, I don't know if today, but the future shiurim, will move into the malach of havara proper. So the malach of kibbutz, extinguishing a flame, is definitely one of the lamdos malachas, not a question. And we know why they did kibbutz in the Mishkan, and that's going to become important for us. They did kibbutz in the Mishkan, they extinguished flames because they wanted to get coals, because part of the melting process, there was so much melting of metals that were taking place in the construction of different plant Mishkan, so they had to have coals, and they had to heat up the metals and melt the metals, etc. So in order to get the coals, they had to first light up the wood, and then blow up and extinguish the wood, in order to turn to charcoal. So the malach of kibbutz was done in the Mishkan for the purpose of making a pecham, for the purpose of making a coal. It's for this reason that the Gemara says that if you extinguish a fire for any other reason, that may fall short of being a malach deraisa. Because we know that there's a machlekes hatanoim about malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. If I do a malacha for a different purpose than the malacha was done in the Mishkan. We've given these examples many times. The primary example that appears in the Mishnah is vis-a-vis the malacha of carrying for the Mishkan. So the purpose of carrying was to use the item that you're carrying. Let's say if I want to carry a sefer outside, I want to use the sefer. That's called carrying. That's malacha deraisa. If I carry some food because I want to eat the food, that's called malacha deraisa. If I carry something not to use it, but rather to avoid its use, I want to get it away from me, so that by definition cannot be a malacha deraisa. If you have malacha, you move a potter. That's what the Mishnah says. A moitias, a mace, is going to be potter. When a person takes the dead body out of his house, he doesn't want to use it. He wants to remove it. He wants to get it out of his house. So that would not be a malach deraisa. The way we paskin, that malach shetzich legufa is potter. I say we, I mean most of the Rishonim, with the exception of the Rambam. Machlek is atanoi, machlek is Rishonim, paskin. Rubin the Rishonim hold that malach shetzich legufa is not an issue deraisa. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says that if you do the malacha, so the mice I carry, I did an action of carrying. Whether I did it for purpose A, B, or C, it doesn't matter. As long as I did the mice, the pa'ul of the malacha, that would be a malach deraisa. But again, most of the Rishonim don't hold that. So when it comes to the malach of kibbutz, we know very well what the tachlis of the malach was. We know what the purpose of the malach in the Mishkan. It was to make charcoals. Therefore, if a person is extinguishing wood to make a coal to cook on, so that's kibbutz deraisa. If you're extinguishing a fire because you just want to put the fire out or something, it's getting too warm in the room, or you want to, whatever the other reason why you want to put out a fire. So by definition, that cannot be malach deraisa. Doesn't mean it's mutter. Malach shetzich legufa is still awesome at the rabbanon. It's potter of all awesome at the rabbanon, but a deraisa it cannot be. And so with that background, we now have to analyze the Gemara. It's a pivotal Gemara about the malach of kibbutz. The Gemara discusses as follows. The Gemara discusses what would the din be if a person is walking in the street and they notice that there's something on fire. There's a piece of wood that's on fire, and they suspect that it may be dangerous. Somebody may get hurt on this walk too close to this wood. So what's the din? Are you allowed to put out this wood or not? So the simple reading of the Gemara, where many Rishonim understand it, goes as follows: that we're not dealing with the real issue of pikuach nefesh. It would be pikuach nefesh, and obviously anything would be mutter. We're not really dealing with pikuach nefesh. We're dealing more with the hezek harabim. We're dealing more with the situation of no one's going to chas shalom get killed. On the other hand, somebody may get hurt. So when you have a group of people may get hurt, that's called hezek harabim. And Chazal basically lifted all the surim d'rabbanon mokum hezek harabim. Now the question we have to ask is the putting out of this flame, is that an issur d'oraisa or is that an issur d'rabbanon? So if it would be an issur d'oraisa, that would be a problem, because anything that falls short of pikuach nefesh would be problematic. If it could somehow be knocked down to be a d'rabbanon, then we can invoke the kul or the heter of hezek harabim. We invoke this heter of hezek harabim all the time. We spoke about this in the past. about if it's snowy, icy or something, so you want to melt the ice in front of your driveway, don't you slip on it. So you're allowed to do whatever Issa D'Rabbanan. I'm not even sure what Issa D'Rabbanan are here, whether it would mean putting salt on or something, or maybe even shoveling, whatever. Stripping, if the issues involved would only be D'Rabbanan, so then those would be permissible. So the Gemara again raises the question, can I extinguish this flame, can I pour water and put out this burning piece of wood or not? So the Gemara says, well, it depends. If you hold that malacha she'netzuch l'gufa is potur, so then for sure it's only a D'Rabbanan. It cannot, by definition, cannot be a D'Raisa, because if you subscribe to the view of Shimon's Tan, who subscribes to the view malacha she'netzuch l'gufa is potur, so then anytime I put out a flame not to use as a charcoal, by definition, it's not a D'Raisa. So I'm pouring water on this burning piece of wood. I'm not planning on using it for coal. So it's just to remove the fire. It's like the case of the mace. I'm carrying an item to get rid of. I'm carrying out the garbage to get rid of it. I'm carrying out the mace to get rid of it. I'm trying to get rid of the flame. I'm trying to put out the fire. I'm not necessarily interested in making a coal. So that, by definition, cannot be a malacha D'Raisa. So it's not a malacha D'Raisa. To the efforts mutter to extinguish it, b'makom hezek harabim. But what if you hold like the other time? What if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, like the Rambam paskins, that malacha she'etzich l'gufa is chayev? So then, tells me, I can hold it for it, sorry. So if you hold that malacha she'etzich l'gufa is chayev, so you're dealing with a deraisa, so you have a problem. So that's exactly what the Gemara says, you're right. That if you hold like that view, so then it's a deraisa. So ein mechabim gachela shel eitz, you're not talking not allowed. But then in the same breath, the Gemara says that even if you're machmir and you hold, you're not allowed to put out a burning piece of wood. What you are allowed to do is to put out a glowing piece of hot metal. Let's say you have a burning piece of metal, a glowing piece of metal sitting in the street, and you're afraid someone's going to get hurt on it. So that would be okay. So even according to the machmir, even according to Rebbe, again, we pass in the luck of Rebbe Shimon, so there's a moot discussion. But it's critical for us to extract what Rebbe Yehuda would say, because that's going to impact on the whole malachas kibbutz. So again, the Gemara says that for us, you could even put out the burning piece of wood because it's only a derabbanan malach she'etzich l'gufa. But according to Rebbe Yehuda, so then you have a deraisa on your hands. So then to put out a piece of wood is a problem, but to put out matter would be okay. So the question is, what's the difference? What manishtana the wood from the metal? If you really accept Rebbe Yehuda, that kibbutz applies under all circumstances, so why is the metal any different than the burning wood? So there's many, many different answers in the Mishnah to this question, and each one of them is going to have serious impact halacha l'maaseh for us. So one answer that's presented by a group of actually early Mishnah, the Malachs Gedolos and others, who say the answer is as follows, that we're working our entire mindset with an incorrect assumption. We were assuming that this whole sugya is not really pikuach nefesh. That was our assumption. No life is really at risk over here. And therefore, the best we can do is to be matri surim d'rabbanan. Come a group of rishonim, early rishonim, ve'ainim actually, malachs kedoshim and others, and say, no, we're wrong in that assumption. What we're dealing here is pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh. I need a gemara to tell me pikuach nefesh is muta. If we've been learning Shabbos now for 3 years, if I need Rabbi Shabloski to tell me that pikuach nefesh, you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos deraisis, and then I missed the boat. I didn't do a good job. But Shabbos writes that it's incumbent upon Rabbanim that they have to instruct the Balabatim about the din of pikuach nefesh. It's a chi of gomer that people have to know that pikuach nefesh is doicha all the mitzvahs, because otherwise, if the Balabatim don't know that, so what's going to happen? You can have an emergency on Shabbos, and everyone's going to start knocking on the door at 3 o'clock. We'll look for the rabbi. No one's going to want to be Michal Shabbos. So the Mishnah Berurah says, the Gemara says that then Hashol raises Shefech Damim. The person comes and asks the Shaila and Yali Pekuch Nefesh. So he's a Ritzek. He's a Shefech Damim. It depends what kind of Pekuch Nefesh it is. If it's a Pekuch Nefesh, that's you have a few hours to ask and to figure out. You just not come and ask a Shaila. But if it's every split second counts and you are saying a Pilpul Shir about whether this is Mutter or not, you know, so that's Namash Agedim Shrikas Damim. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah writes, that the Rabbanim can't wait until after it happens. You have to be proactive, not reactive. You have to give the shiurim beforehand. So hopefully everybody knows that they're a dinim of pikuach nefesh. So obviously the Gemara is not talking about real pikuach nefesh. I don't need a Gemara to pilpul about gechelo shel mateches and gechelo shel eitz and that kind of stuff. So what does it mean? So the Mishnah explained that Now, this is an extension of Pikuach Nefesh. This is a somewhat watered-down version of Pikuach Nefesh. And this is a very, very important yusayit. It's a phenomenally important yusayit. It's so relevant to Halacha L'maisa for Inyan and Yomi for us today. The Ramban explains, B'das T'malach S'gedoilas, that when you're dealing with something that impacts the Rabbin, literally public health, when you're dealing with something that impacts potentially a lot of people getting hurt, so the Ramban says it becomes very, very difficult to measure whether something is Pikuach Nefesh or not. Because when you're dealing with one yochid, so it's one question, one chelun in front of us, so you can figure out, so you make a simple calculation. You ask the doctors, that's move on to Elam, that's the favorite Shigemara, both in Masech HaShabbos and in Masech HaZumah, and then in Mifurashim B'Shulchan Aruch, B'lishum Chaylik, I've said this over many, many times, that B'lishum Chaylik, nobody since the days of Moshe Rabbeinu until today has ever questioned that when there's a Shaila related to health, that you speak to the doctors, that's it. How that got lost in today's shuffle, don't even ask me. I don't have a clue, but that's a davar mefurash admaoid. So when it comes to a yochid, it's a fairly simple calculation to make. That you go to the doctor, yes, the doctor looks at this chayil and tells you, I recognize this machla, and I'm telling you that this is there's absolutely no chance whatsoever of this becoming a life threatening. Okay, so then you deal with it in one way. The doctor says that a mature, maybe it can be life-threatening. It's a suffix Pikuach Nefesh. It's a suffix Pikuach Nefesh. It's better to go to Arakula. What if the doctor himself gives you, he says, listen, I'm fairly sure that it's not going to be life-threatening, but I'm not 100% sure. So that's also a suffix Pikuach Nefesh. That's also a milsa de pshit advert. It's also the faith these are in for Russian, the shas of the poiskim that we never, ever argued about. Whenever you have any latest suffix whatsoever, that's treated to be a Pikuach Nefesh. The only thing that's not a Pikuach Nefesh, if you have an Echa, Mini, Elfe, Alfe, Alofim, something that's so crazy, so out of the box of reality, so then Mamish, and those kinds of things is in the Dover Seif. But anything that's within the realm of possibility, it's something that the medical community is concerned about. So that's by definition within the realm of possibility. So of course that falls into the category of a suffix Pikuach Nefesh. So the famous story from Reb Chaim that once there was somebody in the Soloveitchik family that was sick on Shabbos. So they went to go run to get the doctor. The doctor came and the doctor was trying to examine the person. And Reb Chaim sensed that it was a little bit of, wasn't so light in the room. So Reb Chaim sensed that maybe the doctor could use a little bit better light to be able to look a little bit better. So Reb Chaim asked the doctor, does the doctor need any more light? So the doctor said, no. It was a response, it's okay, something like that. So Reb Chaim told one of his children, they better go quickly light another fire to make more light in the room. So apparently they asked Reb Chaim, people were there, asked Reb Chaim, the doctor said, no. So Reb Chaim said, the doctor didn't say, I definitely don't need. The doctor was saying, it's probably okay. So Reb Chaim said, that's not enough for Pikuach Nefesh. Probably okay is not enough for Pikuach Nefesh. Even as a mashu of a chance that maybe I'll be able to, the doctor will be able to see a little better, be able to take care of the, assess the chayil a little bit better. That's also slightly considered to be a suffix Pikuach Nefesh. Anyway, get back to the story. So when you're dealing with the yochid, so you have to take into consideration sveikis, but you can, it's almost like a closed, closed story, I can say, dealing with this chayla, if I know the chayla, I know this masla, so I do my review of my cases, and I can figure out whether it is Pikuach Nefesh or not Pikuach Nefesh. But the Ramban says that when you're dealing with the rabbim, so then there's so many factors, so many things going on here, that it's so hard to assess, is this dangerous, is it not dangerous, is this healthy, not healthy. So the Ramban says, whenever you have a hezek rabbim, the Balach Gedolus understood that that's a suffix Pikuach Nefesh. Even though it doesn't appear, we can't point to any one person that's going to die from this fire, But since you're dealing with a lot of people, so it's a much, much riskier kind of an assessment. And therefore, you have to err on the side of caution. So I state, Lagabi der Isa. That's Lagabi, the dinim of Chil Shabbos der Isa. The Balach Gedolus lets you be Mechal Shabbos der Isa because of something that doesn't really appear to be Pikuach Nefesh, but because it impacts on the Rabbim, there's no way to say that with absolute certainty. So, a couple of getting back to the story. So if that's the case, that the Ramban just changed all the facts on the ground for us. The Balach Gedolus has changed all the facts on the ground that you're even allowed to do Chil Shabbos der Isis. We have to go back to that Gemara. So the Gemara says that you're allowed to put out the glowing metal, but you're not allowed to put out the wood. The Marav Shach. If it's really Pikuach Nefesh, if it's really a Tzach Rabim, it's really Hezek Rabim, it's a Chashash of Pikuach Nefesh, So it should be mutter to put out the wood also. So what's the difference? Why does the Gemara say the metal, yeah, and the wood, no? So the Baal HaSedos explains to us that it's a metzias question. It's just a technicality that if I'm walking in the street and I see a burning piece of wood, I'm going to see it from 20 feet away. It has flames. There's flames coming out of it. Who's going to walk and touch a burning piece of wood? So the burning piece of wood is not a pikuach nefesh b'chalal. It's not. It's an echad min ha'elf ha'alfei alofim. What meshugan is going to go and touch the burning piece of wood? So you're going to stay away. But if there's a piece of metal, so the piece of metal so well, and you don't realize that's hot. You don't realize that may chalila be how burning hot it is. The person may chalila get burns that could be potentially pikuach nefesh. So says the Baal HaSedos Gedolos, the emphasis is that for a hezek harabim, you're allowed to be mechal shabbos deraisa. You have to first ascertain that it's hezek harabim. So the glowing mateches is a hezek harabim. The glowing the burning wood is not a hezek harabim, and therefore that's the difference between the two cases. So what comes out according to the Baal HaSedos Gedolos, our purposes of melachas kibui, is that putting out a glowing piece of metal is a melacha. He didn't say it's not a. He didn't say it's not a malacha. He said it is a malacha, but it's a malacha that's mutter because it's pikuach nefesh. So that's one way of understanding that gemara. So again, the gemara says that for we who paskin that malacha shetzich lagufa is potter. You're allowed to put out anything on Shabbos. You can blow out the wood, blow out the metal. You can distinguish everything because there's no deraisas anywhere near the sugya. Everything is only derabbanan. But makom hezek haram, everything all derabbanan is a mutter. But Malachas Gedolos is saying, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that Malach Shetzich L'Gufa is Chayav, so then we split between the metal and the wood. So the Malachas Gedolos says, not that there's a halachic split between the two, it's just a metziah split, that sometimes there is a danger, sometimes there's no danger. But other Rishayim say no. Other Rishayim say there's a real halachic difference, and extinguishing a glowing piece of metal is not kibbutz. It just can't be kibbutz. It's just fall short of being kibbutz. Not kibbutz at all. Nothing to do with melachas yetzich l'gufa. It's just not called extinguishing a flame. And the question is, why not? What is it about putting out a glowing piece of metal that's not considered to be kibbutz? So this is the big machlekes of Rishonim. Machlekes in Rashi and Rabbi Elazar and Mitzvah and Sefer Yoreim. Rashi says it's not considered to be kibbutz because a glowing metal can never even be a coal in the first place. Means b'med devar mamurim that there's a malach of kibbutz, something that could potentially be turned into a coal. Whether your intent is to make it that way or not that way, that's a machlekes. We can pilpul from tichel tomorrow. But says Rashi, if it can't become a pecham, if it can't become a coal, then the game's over. So hot metal, glowing metal, according to Rashi, cannot possibly be malachas kibbutz. End of discussion. Not like the Baal HaSedos Gedolos who said, it's kibbutz, it's just that it's pikuach nefesh. No, it's not kibbutz, finished. That is not called melachas kibbutz because it can't become a coal. And the Sefer Yoreim says a different word. He says, no, nothing to do with coals. It's just that it's not dumi de mishkan. In the mishkan, the melachas of avar and kibbutz were on wood, they weren't on metal. They didn't heat up metal. They didn't glow metal in the mishkan. They lit wood to make fires, to make charcoals. That's not Dumi the Mishkan, therefore doesn't meet the criteria of the Malacha. So when all the dust settles, we have a few different takes about Malacha's kibbutz. So again, we start off, we know, there's a Machlekes HaTanoim, Machlekes Rishon LaHalacha, where the kibbutz in the Torah is limited only to making of charcoals. If your intent is not to make a coal, can that be a Malacha D'oraisa? That's question number one. Question number two is, can Malachas Kibbutz apply to metal, hot glowing metal? I pour water, I extinguish it, I make the metal no longer glow. Is that Malachas Kibbutz or not? So the Baal HaSedos Gedolos was saying that yes, it is, absolutely. And Rashi and the Sefer Yoreim will say it's not, but for different reasons. Rashi is because it's not fit to become a coal, and the Sefer Yoreim is because it just wasn't done that way in the Mishkan. So my Nafka, where does all this put us? So as you can hopefully ready to begin to see, this discussion that we're having now is really setting the stage for the discussion about electricity. What exactly are potential malachas involved in electricity? And when we discuss electricity, so we have to talk about it on two different levels. We have to talk about it first in terms of bulbs. That's the most serious problem involved in electricity. And then there's a secondary issue, and that relates to everything else. All the other devices, the air conditioners, the fans, and the vacuums, and everything else that doesn't involve lights or bulbs per se, So that second half, we're not even going to talk about now. We spoke a little bit about that last week. We spoke about Donev, the Chazanish, and Shlomo Zalman. We're going to focus just for a moment. Let's set the stage a little bit in terms of the in terms of lights. That's the potentially biggest problem in terms of electricity. So let's talk about it first backwards in terms of turning off a light. Before we get turning on a light, we're talking about keyboard. There's a light on, and I turn off the light. So now what? So did I do malacha deraisa or not? The only possible malacha that we want to focus on right now is keyboard. Is that called extinguishing a flame or not? So it sounds like, according to almost nobody, would that be malacha deraisa for the following? Bottom line is potter. We paskin, the guy who carries the mace is potter. The person who throws out the garbage is potter. So we paskin that even if you did a mice of kibbutz, if you didn't do it for the purposes of making a coal, so you didn't violate a malacha deraisa. So guess what? When you turn off a light, I don't know too much of electricity. Maybe Ron, you'll fill me on this. You're part of the electrical team of Orat Torah. I imagine when you turn off the lights, there's no chart. You're not barbecuing. Hope not. No barbecue. Hope forever. Hope not. You're not turning the inside wires into the filaments, not becoming a charcoal. And therefore, since nothing is becoming a coal, so by definition, that's a malach. So it cannot be a deraisa. And again, I didn't say it's mutter. There's no way in the world it could possibly be a deraisa. But it's a malach. And even according to the Machmir, even according to the Rambam, Paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, Malach Shetzikuf is Chaya, it's still a far cry from being a Deraisa for a variety of reasons, because maybe it's impossible for it to become a Pecham, to become a Chikol, or maybe it's not doing the Mishkan, that wasn't the way the Malach was played out in the Mishkan. So we have common reasons why we're pretty comfortable in saying that turning off an electric light is probably not a Deraisa. Now again, far cry from saying that it's mutter, but it's important to say that it's not a deraisa. The reason why that's important, the maisa, why does it really make a difference? So in terms of a Jew doing it under normal circumstances, it doesn't make much of a difference, but it does play a role in terms, particularly of asking a non-Jew. As we said time and time again, the general rule is, whatever you as a Jew are not allowed to do, you're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do either. But one of the important kulas of Amir Yaakov is that you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do a derabbanon if there's some kind of a big tzarech, some kind of a significant tzarech, so then you would be permitted to ask a non-Jew to do a malacha derabbanan for you. Or even more than that, if you have someone who's a chayla, even though the chalish ain't bersakana, so then you can ask a non-Jew even to do deraisa for you. But even if you don't have to go that far, even if you're just dealing with some kind of a significant tzarech, so then a star, something like that, then it would be mutter to ask a non-Jew to do a malacha for you. So let's say a common shayla. Let's say you have left a light on in the room, and there's someone who's having trouble with sleeping with the light on. Some people have trouble sleeping with the light on. Personally, you don't have too much trouble sleeping with the light on. If I'm tired, I can sleep with the light on. If I'm not tired, I can't sleep with the light off. So, let's say a person really, really can't have a baby, an older person, somebody who's having trouble sleeping, they want to know, can we turn off the light on Shabbos? So the answer is since the turning off of a light is the most probably only a derabbanan, when they ask a non-Jew to turn off the light for you, but welcome tzar, or this quasi tzrachim or something, so it would probably be okay. So the extinguishing of a turning off of an electric light is probably not a deraisa. I'm not saying certainly not a deraisa for other potential reasons, but very, very possibly not a deraisa. Of course, the much more chomer shayla, the much stricter shayla would be the turning on of the light. Means is there a difference between turning off of the light, turning on the light? This is where it starts to get tricky because we start to cross the bridge between Malachas Kibbutz and Malachas Havara. So this could set the stage for using electric and menorahs. So we could theoretically talk about that now, but it would be a little bit in Yom Yama, but since I think everybody knows we're probably not going to use electric menorahs for other technical reasons. I don't feel the necessity to speak about it right now in Yom Yama. So we'll have to put that off until next week. Hopefully, Metshem next week, we'll try to pick up on this Nakuda, taking everything that we just learned about Kibbutz, and now it's not a bad pun. I did not mean this way, but the next word is plug it into. That wasn't the purpose of the pun. Hopefully, plug it into Havara, and Metshem to see where all this today was more the Lomdish background, and try to now put it into place in terms of how this plays out. So it's actually turning on the lights. We deal with the Rises, the Rabbanans, things change with the Manazah. So that's going to become critical for us. Hopefully, next week, we'll make that little bit of a bridge between Kibbutz into the world of.